I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I am so looking forward to not only today's show, but this whole week of programming. We've prepared, we've prayed, we're focusing every day this week on this show on breakthrough. We're praying for many breakthroughs in your life, that the captive would be set free, the lost would be found, the one who's stuck would get unstuck, the sick body would be healed, and that the righteous people of God would be mobilized into their high calling in Jesus Christ. And many of you have heard already the story of the healing journey that God has me on. It's been happening in stages. But at the beginning of January and February, I was in a rough place emotionally and physically. Emotionally, I was just worn out from the physical battle, and I was really starting to lose heart. And I didn't know how to break through. I fasted, prayed, claimed the name. I did everything I know. But sometimes you need an army of believers to come alongside you to march you onto victory, and that is what God did. Well, again, many of you know the story, and we've recorded a couple of shows in that regard. But today, you're going to hear from one of the women that God used. She marched right into my life and spoke really a prophetic word of hope and encouragement, saying, I really believe God has this for you. And she recognized how hard I fought. There was so much honor in her voice and clarity in her words. And God has used her so much, not only in my life, but in many. And she and her husband have a ministry to help many, many people find freedom in Christ. And as I said, she speaks with authority, wisdom, and grace. And I really do believe with all my heart, by the end of the show, you're going to feel loved and cared for and inspired to lay hold of all God has for you. So I want to start here. I want to ask you to text me, tell me where you're stuck, where you desperately need a breakthrough. We would love to know. We're going to pray for some of you today. Also in studio with me is Tammy Brown, who I've known for years. She's been on the show even before. One of the most godly women, one of the most powerful prayer women I know, and one of my key intercessors. I love this woman so very much, and she's here praying and interceding for your breakthrough. So I'd love for you to text 877-933-2444. How do you need a breakthrough? Where are you stuck? And before we get Maria on, I just want to remind you, would you be praying with us? Especially if you're in a good place, ask God, is there something I'm not seeing? Anything that, Lord, that you want me to lay hold of? I don't want to settle into comfort, because we go to strength from strength to strength, glory to glory. But if you are in a good place and you've got some bandwidth, would you be an intercessor this week? Because there are a lot of people who are just barely hanging on. And I want us to get a vision for what breakthrough might look like. Again, all week, we're going after breakthrough from different angles. We'll have Dr. Jill on tomorrow, Dr. Troy on Thursday. We're going to talk with that lawyer friend of mine about mercy trials and forgiveness. And we've got a great week planned for you. So let me know how you're stuck. Text me 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get this conversation started. Maria Erickson's been making disciples that make disciples. This is true since 2003, when she founded Last Day Disciples with her husband, Scott, with a commitment to fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Luke 4. Last Day's Disciples has provided biblical discipleship training through teaching, preaching, dramatic presentations, mission trips, counseling, deliverance, and prayer ministry. And together, Scott and Maria have written manuals on discipleship and deliverance and host their own weekly discipleship radio show. They live in Minnesota with their three amazing sons, and this is a woman of God. I'm so honored to now call you my friend. Maria, welcome.
Thank you so much, Suzy. It's such an honor and a blessing to be here, and I'm excited for what God's going to do.
Well, you know, I love our listeners. I feel like protective of them. I cry for them. I pray for them. I love them so much. And so we're so selective about who we bring on. I love you so much. So I could cry at the thought of introducing you to them, because they're going to feel loved and cared for. God has so saturated you with His love and His compassion, but not for pity's sake. It's for purpose sake. It's for faith's sake. So I cannot wait for them to hear from you. But we always start by making it personal. And I know you have a thriving walk with God. So just on a personal level, what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
He has been encouraging me to realize that loving Him and loving people has such a big purpose right now. Mm-hmm. Like right now. You know, we know Jesus loves me. We learn it when we're little kids, or maybe if you didn't know Jesus as a young child, hopefully you know the song Jesus Loves Me. And so we know that God is love. But what's really been penetrating my heart lately is that God is on a mission to help us love each other really well and find the solutions the whole world needs through teaming up with each other and being rightly related to each other. Because in all of us, he's got the answers for each of us because he's in us as the body of Christ. We're not meant to do this on our own. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I love about what you do, Susie, is that you help everybody feel like they have a best friend mm-hmm. on the radio because they do, you know, and it's us loving one another so that the Lord can flow through us to give us all his best because we're walking in unity, walking in love. And so I've just been hungrier for that than ever before.
Wow.
And I'm excited to see more and more Christians getting hungry for that so that we can love well, both our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, everybody. Because in that love, in that space we create, Jesus manifests himself with solutions and victory and what he really died on the cross to give us.
Come on. Amen. It's so interesting how your hubby, and you both do this, but he really mentioned that he's ministered to some pretty people who've been in the ditches of
yeah.
despair, hardcore lifestyles. And he, one of the things that ministers life and healing is he tells them to go home and sing Jesus Loves Me after all this ministry. But he
yeah.
says, one of your homework tasks, assignments, is I want you to start singing Jesus Loves Me out
yeah.
loud. Why has that been such a thing?
Well, the Bible tells us that faith works by love. And the Bible is full of promises that are for all of us. But if we don't believe that we're loved by God, we might disqualify ourselves. Well, because I had an abortion or because I had sex before marriage or because I deal with depression, this verse isn't for me.
Mm.
You know, people feel separated from God's love. And so when you sing Jesus Loves Me, it's like, wait a minute, that's what's true. And he doesn't love me conditionally. He loves me even while I was a sinner. He died for me to prove that in my worst moments, he loved me so much he didn't want to go to heaven without me. And so he died for me. And so faith worketh by love. And we have to have a revelation that we're loved unconditionally mm. in order for all the rest of the Bible verses to work, especially when we need them the most.
Mm. Boy, that's so good. So the night that Kev and I met with you, and Tammy was there as well, and your hubby pulled out a notepad, and first you just asked me to tell my story, very vulnerable, because it was really naming the most traumatic things in my life. And you said after, you know, I know this is hard. You were so full of compassion, but you said, what I'm trying to do here is establish a pattern of theft.
Yeah.
Unpack that a bit.
So in John 10:10, the Bible says the thief, meaning the devil, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus speaking, came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I think sometimes we think we did everything wrong or that God's mad at us. And so when we're hurting and broken, we sometimes blame ourselves or blame other people and we don't realize we're actually just getting stolen from.
Mm.
And it's intricate sometimes as to how it's happening. And when we realize, wait, Jesus has abundant life for me. And what's going on right now that doesn't look like abundant life is theft of some kind. Now it's like, okay, we're on a mission. Holy Spirit, show us, how did the enemy get in to steal from me my health or healthy relationships? Show me what I need to see so that I can have what I'm supposed to have instead of thinking, you know, that it's that there's no hope.
Mm. So interesting, because one of the things you pointed out is how all of the trauma that I'd experienced happened when you should be most protected at my most vulnerable moments. And so
yeah.
that kept me in fight flight, that kept me bracing for impact, and kept me never really feeling safe because you couldn't convince me otherwise. I mean, wait a minute, you know,
yeah.
when I'm delivering a baby, you should be very safe in the doctor's care and all that, right?
Right.
And, but how, when you're, for the person listening today, how would they go about determining the pattern of theft? Because that seems like it's probably true for every person. The enemy
yeah.
has found
yeah.
inroads from very young.
Yeah, he seeks about to and fro, seeking whom he
yes.
can devour.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes after us when we're young. And he tries to get in there through traumas and experiences that totally convince us because we know, well, that actually happened. And we come to conclusions based on what happened that are very logical and make sense. And so what we need to do when we're experiencing fruit that is not abundant life, we need to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, where did this start and how did it begin? Because the Bible tells us that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And so if you get to the root of a thing, then you have a chance to get rid of it. I tell people often, if you mow down the dandelions in your yard, no surprise, they're going to come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't uproot them. And so it's asking the Lord, where did this begin, this pattern of feeling not good enough or this pattern of feeling not safe? where did it start, Lord? And how can I let you undo all the works of the enemy in this root area so that I can have good fruit instead of what the devil has done to me that's caused such harm?
And so often the enemy seems to hide in plain sight because, you know, you think back to something innocuous that happened when you were in your fifth grade classroom or something. And so you would kind of brush it away, but the enemy knew what he was doing in your little mind and orchestrating a circumstance, right? And so speak to that, if you would, that as far as how does a person go, how do I establish and discern the root of this pattern of loss and theft in my life?
Yeah. Well, you start by knowing my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You start by having faith based on scripture that the Lord has promised to be your shepherd. He's promised to help you hear him. You don't need a doctorate degree and you don't need to have the Bible memorized. He's your daddy and he knows what your needs are and how to get you from where you are to where he really wants you to be. And so you start with believing you're my father, you're my shepherd, you love me. You proved it when you sent Jesus to die for me. Now I'm going to believe that you are going to show me what I need to see and send me the helpers that I need so that I can get the healing that I need and see what I don't see because he sees everything. Mm. You know, and so it's believing you have a capable helper and it's God.
And that he wants to help.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We're going to pause here, but that's the thing that stuck out to me and sticks out to me about you, Marie, is you have this winsome, joyful expectancy that God is going to be good.
Yeah.
And one of the things you'd said to me is if you don't have a sense that goodness and mercy only are allowed to follow you, if you don't have a sense about the goodness of God and an expectancy that he's up to something good on your behalf, there's something out of alignment in your thinking and there's likely something within you that needs to be healed. So we're going to talk about that. Do you have a sense that only goodness and mercy follow me? And I wonder with joyful expectancy, what amazing thing God has up his sleeve. Do you know I'm finally there? My whole life, I've never been there. I'm there now. I feel giddy with just anticipation. Even on the bad days when it's two steps forward, three steps back, and symptoms flare, it doesn't matter. To me, that's peripheral. It's residual. It's like the tree's been cut off and there might be a few green leaves left, but that tree is dead and dying. But I want us all to get to that place of holy expectancy. My Father's good. He has good things for me, and he's going to bring healing, and he's going to do it. I want you to believe it. We got some texts. We'll read those when we get back as well. More with Maria Erickson in a minute. Come on, somebody. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. It's Breakthrough Week this week. Would you be praying for us? Because we are really believing for miracles. I am believing, hoping, praying every day after each show that people, you see the chains breaking. You see people get unstuck. What are you believing God for? Where are you stuck? Where do you need a breakthrough? I've got a bunch of texts that have come in. Would love to hear from you as well. Text me at 877-933-2484. Maria Erickson is my guest today. She and her husband have a ministry to people for breakthrough, for deliverance, to counsel them, to really disciple them and mobilize them into the high call of Jesus Christ, helping many, many people get unstuck. And she's been a key prayer warrior in my healing journey. And it's just been an honor to get to know her as friend. And we're here today talking about John 10:10. And one of the things that struck me so much on our night in prayer in March was when you asked me to tell my story because you wanted to establish a pattern of theft. And we're drawing from John 10:10. At this point now, we're just going to talk a little bit about the idea because you've drilled this into my head over and over again, which I need it over and over. Every time you say it, I feel like I'm drinking a cool glass of water. But Susie, unless you believe that only and always goodness and mercy are allowed to follow you as a child of God, only goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And unless you have an expectancy of that God's going to be good, that he's going to take care of you, something is out of alignment in your thinking. Something needs to be healed in your soul. Speak to that a little bit more before we tackle some of these texts.
Yeah, I think what we need is a revelation of how God feels about us. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll ask people, because we've all been through things and we all process them. And so I'll ask people, well, how do you feel about yourself? And people will say, well, not as bad as I used to, or I'm a work in progress, or I don't like myself. I hate myself. And so then I'll ask them, well, how does God feel about you? And they'll look at me like, do you want me to give you the Bible answer or the answer that I actually tend to believe? Right. Mm. And I'm like, well, I want you to tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. How does God feel about you? And when they realize, well, wait, if I had to give like the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I have to say he loves me because that's what the Bible says. But then people come to face the reality that that's not sometimes how they feel. And so then I hold my hands up and I spread them out like wide. So like I'm on the cross kind of a thing. And on one side, I've got Jesus loves you. You just told me he loves you. And then on the other side, there's, you know, the devil and he hates you. And then I ask people where between God loving you and the devil hating you on this spectrum, if your hands were like spread out straight, like you were on a cross, where on a daily basis are you?
On a daily basis.
And then I ask them, well, if where do you think God wants you to be? And they point to the hand where it's God loves me. And I'm like, yes, God wants you to love yourself the way he loves you because he's always right. He knows everything and he loves you and he's right. So you'd be wrong not to agree with him, right? And they look at me like, this is hard. Well, it's actually, I'm giving you the answer.
Yeah, right.
But right, I mean, it's like there's this honesty that has to come. And and that's where the alignment occurs. When you realize I want to agree with what the Bible says, but a whole lot of me doesn't. Because I've been convinced that, well, if he loved me, then this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened. Well, actually, if there wasn't a devil, this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened.
Come on.
But God's there right now to say, I love you and this is not your fault. It's a fallen world and it's a broken situation. And I'm here to heal you. I've already forgiven you and I want to restore you so that you actually get richer on the other side of the battle you've been through. Because you look in the Bible, all of the people in the Old Testament that followed God and went through tough things, if they obeyed what he said and drew near to him, they not only got through the battle, they won it, and they got plunder on the other side. They got richer. They got
benefits.
And
you told me to expect some spoils from my battle. So not only count on the goodness of God, but the judicial nature of God will lend itself to him rendering a verdict against our enemy and issuing payback. It is time for him to give up what he has stolen from us.
So you go from thinking God's mad at me and I don't love me and I can't love me to, wait, God loves me. He wants to help me be victorious. And he wants to bless me a whole bunch for all that I went through. And now your heart's like, oh, God's like that? He wants to rescue me and bless me and make it so that the bad stuff is like just this little small thing compared to the good that, because he wants to turn everything for good. Yeah. And so when you get to that place where I'm lovable no matter what, God loves me no matter what, he wants to do good things for me no matter what. Now it's like, okay, Lord, what do I get to believe so that I can go with you that direction and have what your best is for me despite everything the devil did? Because it's not about the devil. And it's not even about just me. It's about what you want to do in me, on me, and through me to show your glory. Because he's not a God ever. And Jesus, he didn't leave anybody in the ditch or on the side of the road still with their problem. Not a single one. If he wanted us to have a theology that included that, I think he would have showed us, okay, there's a percentage. Manage your expectations, everybody. I am Jesus. I'm God. But there's a percentage that I'm going to walk right by. No. He's not like that. Let's not let our circumstances convince us that he is.
Amen. And, you know, I've talked about brain science on the show, studied it quite a bit, you know, read some. So I think it makes me an expert. I'm not sure. But anyway, totally kidding. But I am fascinated by it because the physiological impact of what we repeatedly think is real. It's a thing. Even scientists that have no faith to speak of talk about what you think and rehearse and meditate on, your cells respond to. And so one of the things you'd said to me, you know, because it was like there were some of these cycles so embedded because there really was a pattern of a theft in my life. What were you going to say?
Well, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be.
And so one of the things you'd said was, you know, slay your Goliath with Rhema stones of truth. And you said, I can't find those for you. You've got to find those. And I loved that assignment because there's certain words that come alive that directly refute the lie coming at me. So here's an example. I love Maria's feistiness. I'm pretty feisty, but I think I've been outmatched by because she's like 6 feet tall too. So I'm not going to mess with her too much. But anyway, but you know, one of the things, just the reality, or at least in the natural, I'm going to be careful how I talk because she'll swap me around. But anyway, but you know, like some, let's say a certain supplement has helped 99.9% of the people, but 1% would have a bad reaction. And I would seem to fall into that 1% over and over again. And that was a constant thing. Like, you know, people get well quicker than you. People get help better than you. That has just been the way it has felt very true. And you said, you are not the exception to the rule. You have the exceptional promises of God. And that was a massive paradigm shift. I'm like, you know what? I am not putting up with this anymore. I'm not the exception to the rule. I have the exceptional promises of God. I don't care what the history, because that's been an inroad. And if I agree with it, he's got a landing strip. Yeah. I just think that's a powerful, powerful thought.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I think we're in this battle of our mind, you know, and the scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so if we have repetitive, I tell people often, write down the thoughts that you have often that give you distress. Just write them down. And then go, Holy Spirit, are these things true? Or is there something in the Bible that's better? Right? And he's going to redecorate your mind as fast as he can, because he knows
I love that.
If his word is wallpapered in your mind, you know, that if you are thinking what he says, you're able to have what he wants you to have. And so, yeah, so you just jot down those thoughts of, even if you've got all kinds of reasons to believe them, you've got the pain and the yuck of your life are the reasons to start believing something better. And you just get to bring the mess to the Lord and say, Lord, here's this. I want to live the exchanged life. I don't want to keep believing that this is the lot that I have. It's what I have had. But you say in your word that you want me to be in health, even as my soul prospers. And so wherever my soul got afflicted and hurt and harmed, I want my soul to prosper, my mind, will, and emotions. So Holy Spirit, here's the yuck that I've been thinking and feeling like it's just part of who I am and how I am. Holy Spirit, I want an upgrade. I want to trade this in. I want something better. I want something different. And the Lord will always, always, always show you something else to believe, like those five stones, like you said. Mm-hmm. He'll say, well, this is what my antidote is. And Jesus modeled it for us, right? In the wilderness, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he was tempted in a variety of ways. And every single time he came back with, well, it is written. And he defeated the enemy simply with words from God that write right on over what the devil wants to do. And Jesus is the word. He lives the word. And he wants that for all of us. And so you get to trade in the things that have come from the enemy's theft and just say, Holy Spirit, what do I get to believe instead? And as I believe it, thank you, Father, you'll manifest it and you'll make it happen, because it's what your will is. That's why it's in your word.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's our assignment, friends. Write down the things that distress you. And say, Lord, is this true, or is there something better for me in the Bible? And one of the things, when we started our prayer meeting that night, it was a Wednesday night, Tammy, who's sitting here, who's interceding, but really deeply hoping she doesn't have to get on the microphone, but no promises. But she opened the prayer meeting, she said, the verse that's impressed upon my heart right now is, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. That has become an anchor passage. I mean, I've loved that passage from before, but it's been an anchor, because my sheep hear me. They love me. They know my voice. You know what God sounds like. His Spirit is alive in you. In Romans 8, I think it says, His Spirit connects with your spirit to affirm that you are indeed His child. We're talking about breakthrough, getting some amens. Even I didn't even ask for any, but maybe I should, because this is an amen worthy show, don't you think? So be it, Lord Jesus. I want to believe you for something better. Talking to Maria Erickson, and we will get to some of these texts. Where are you stuck? Where do you need a breakthrough? And are you willing to sit down with the Lord to say, are these things that I believe true, or is there something better in the Bible? That's fantastic. More with Maria Erickson, just a moment. Scripture says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And Jesus himself said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life to the fullest. And some of the what God wants to do in you, you probably haven't even comprehended or perceived yet, because we can so get stuck in our pain. I'm Susie Larson, and we are focusing all week on breakthrough. In fact, will you be praying with us? I want you to just get a picture in your mind of people who've been bound up with chains, just captives being set free, sick bodies being healed, addicts being delivered and restored to their dignity. Just to imagine it, because we're believing for it. Maria Erickson joins me today, and she and her husband founded the ministry Last Days Disciples. And we'll have the link to their website up on the show page. It's lastdaysdisciples.org. But they do a lot in deliverance ministry, helping people not only get free, but to walk free, stay free, and believe God for the best of what he has. I asked you to text me and tell me, where are you stuck? Where do you need a breakthrough? And Maria, you want to talk a little bit about binding. And I mean, when you think about even, you know, some of the sins that our nation is guilty of, we're exporters of porn. I mean, the level of depravity that you know, what people on the outside looking in, you know, we've earned some of that reputation. And yet there's this massive remnant of believers who are crying out to God. And there are people who've been, you know, collateral damage to all that sin, right? And who are in the middle of it. And you have this fire to see each of these people set free. So they're part of the coming revival. And like this dear one, I could hug her. She says, I had an abortion at age 15. It was done by her father, who's an MD. I mean, try to imagine that. Then she became a Christ follower in her 30s, and there's still a part of her that is not healed. And then there is this one. I want to find it because it's really, really important. Hang with me here. They're coming in so fast, but there was another one who said, here we go. He says, thanks for inviting us to submit our request to get free and unstuck. I've been struggling with sexual addiction since age 13, and he's 66 now. Things are better. I think it's a he. Maybe it's not. Things are better. I have not looked at porn for 3 years, still going through hell many times in his mind. Please pray that God finishes the work he started. I'm trusting him to do so, according to Mark 11, 23, 24. So we got a bunch more, but you wanted to talk about some of these major Goliaths in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. I think when Jesus hung on the cross, he gave us the example of how to get free from the terrible injustices that happened to us, whether it happened by somebody else's hand or by our own hand, how the enemy tricked us and got us into a place where we feel like we can't forgive ourselves. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so the people that encouraged you to get an abortion, the father that literally was the one that did the abortion, all these different ones that have been a part of getting us into such a place of injustice, such a place of pain where we tend to not want to forgive ourselves or not forgive those other people because it's just so unjust. It's just so wrong. There was no greater injustice than crucifying the Lord of glory. But what God's intentions were is that through that, he would break the power of every future injustice. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You are not what happened to you. You are not what you did. You are what Jesus did. You are washed in the blood. And so if you're dealing with something like abortion, a lot of women that I've talked to, they tend to have it. They have a hard time letting go of self-hatred because they feel so guilty and they feel, you know, but Jesus wants every single one of us to know that the devil is the author of destruction and hatred and evil and lies. And Jesus is the author of grace and forgiveness and mercy. And why would we not receive what he went to such lengths to make possible for us? And so I just want to encourage you, if you've had a hard time forgiving yourself, today's your day. Today's your day. He makes a way of escape. Just say, yes, Jesus, I want to forgive myself like you forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've forgiven me. I want to forgive me too. So you let that in and then you say, Lord, everybody that was a part of that, I choose to agree with you. Father, forgive them. They didn't really know. They weren't in their right mind. They didn't really know what they were doing. And so you break the power of that unforgiveness towards self, unforgiveness towards other people. And then you just say, Lord, rush in and make all things new and heal and restore and turn this somehow for your glory and for the good. And he will. He can. Mm-hmm. But we hold the keys of either keeping it a secret and keeping it in a place where we agree with the enemy against ourselves, or we open it up into the light of his love and say, Lord, here's this. Please heal me and renew me and restore me. And I think for some situations, there is definitely demonic involvement and engagement. And so I think of those that have dealt with pornography and just things they don't want to be thinking of and things they don't want to be doing. There are some keys the Lord has taught us. Forgiveness is the number one. If you don't forgive, the tormentors can torment you until
I was going to ask, too. I would imagine self-hatred is part of someone who's battling porn. I mean, it's just a self-perpetuating, yeah, destructive cycle, right? Because they fall into it, they're baited into it, then they hate themselves for it, and then to numb that pain. So go ahead and speak to that.
Yeah. So one of the big lies for pornography or any addiction is the lies of, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. Well, we were created for love. And so if you don't believe you're worthy of love because of the past that you've walked in and the unclean things that you've done, then that's painful. And so then to escape that pain, a person will indulge in the addictive behavior and then feel again, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And so it's this vicious cycle. And Jesus said, you're worthy of my everything. I'm going to come and give you all I've got, including every drop of blood, because I love you that much. And I refuse to let Satan steal you from me by getting you to hate yourself or hate other people. I'm going to do everything I need to so that there's no mountain that I can't reach you from. And there's no valley that I can't, you know, come down and get you, because the cross is enough. The cross is enough. The cross is enough. He suffered enough. You don't have to suffer to make God be in a better place. You actually are the reward of his suffering. And so for you to agree with him and say, Lord, I choose to receive your forgiveness. I choose to see myself the way you see me. And I choose to love me the way you love me. So binding and loosing is a very important part of that, because if there are demonic forces involved, what happens is that we're dealing with afflictions in our mind and in our emotions that it's not really us, but because it's in our own voice, we think it's us. And so Jesus said, whatever is bound in heaven, we can bind on earth. Whatever is loosed in heaven, we can loose on earth. I challenge you today. I encourage you today. Try this, because it's going to work. And you're going to be like, oh, wow, how come nobody told me this when I was like 5 years old? Because I would have been binding stuff all my life. You get to say, Lord, whatever unclean spirits, whatever anything, I bind anything that doesn't love you, Jesus, that's spiritual, that's affecting me. I bind it and I send it to your feet right now. In Jesus' name, I command it to go. And if you have chosen forgiveness, now you have authority. And those, if there's anything there, it has to listen to you. If you're in unforgiveness, the scripture says the tormentors will torment you until you pay what you owe, which is we owe everybody forgiveness in order to have any of this work. So if you forgive and then you bind anything that doesn't love Jesus and you send it to the feet of Jesus, I literally saw so much change in my life when I started doing that. Whether it was a relationship that seemed to be always just like at odds, I would pray before I went, Father, I bind anything that's trying to attack this relationship and I send it to the feet of Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, you just be the one that can influence us when we're together. And it was amazing the changes I would see in key relationships, because the supernatural that was yucky was shut down. And the Lord could just move and do what he wanted to do. So whether it's you in your own bedroom dealing with an atmosphere of stuff that's just hard to overcome, or you in a relationship, bind what isn't of Jesus and command it to go to his feet, and loose what is of God, his righteousness, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness. Your life will be revolutionized inside and out as you walk in these tools that are right there in the scriptures, and Holy Spirit will lead you as to what to do when, so that you learn this new lifestyle of being above and not beneath.
So good. And it's so why we've been focusing on forgiveness this whole month, because it really is like a portal to the abundant life.
Yeah.
We allow these lingering senses of self-hatred or lingering grudges. You know, we're not ruthless with those things, but those are open doors and inroads that the enemy has. You know, you also asked me when I've been walking through this healing season, and there's times where the symptoms flare, and you would tell me to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there a reason that these symptoms have a right to stay? Explain what you meant there.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes what happens is when things come back at us, we might then accuse ourselves like, well, I did something wrong, or maybe it didn't work, or maybe God doesn't really want to. And we come to these reasonings. And what we really need to do is remember, wait, for freedom, Christ has set me free. And what just in John 10:10, he's come that we would have life and have it to the full, to where it overflows. And so when things come back at us, if the devil's involved, he's looking to see if it's going to stick. Like, is she going to believe this is still her problem? Is she going to believe, right? But if you know, wait a minute, Lord, I know that healing and wholeness is what Jesus did everywhere he went. And he's in me, he's with me, and he died to make all the promises of God, yes and amen. So if the promise is not manifesting, then let me know. Is there anything I need to know that is something that I need to get back in alignment with you? And if you don't prompt me to know of anything that's got to get, you know, a window shut or a door closed or whatever, if you don't prompt me, then I'm just going to stand fiercely on this truth that I am healed. Your word says so, and I get to have it. And so sometimes what happens is these manifestations just drift away because you didn't take the bait. You didn't open the door and let it stay. You were like, nope, I am healed. The Bible says so. And only the Holy Spirit gets to speak to me if there's anything more I need to know. And if he doesn't, that I'm just going to stand fiercely and feisty. Like, mm-hmm. what's mine is mine, right? Mm. And really be like a toddler even with the Bible verses, like, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. Devil, you can't get it out of my grip because God is for me, not against me. And so if there's something, Holy Spirit will lead us. His still small voice will lead us. If he doesn't, then you just assume that God means his word. He's backing up his word, and he's going to be there to be the strong man that causes the enemy to run away because you didn't fall for his lies. You didn't let him in.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. All of his promises are backed by the honor of his name. That's what scripture says. And I loved it one day you said to me, if there's something poking at you, ask the Holy Spirit, is there a reason this thing has a right to come against me? If there is something, repent and then roar. If there's nothing, well, then just roar.
Yes.
Just roar.
Amen.
I love it so much. I'm going to read a few of these texts before we go to break, and you can just prayerfully consider, Maria, which ones you want to address. And so many people going, wow, this is so good. Let's see here. Hard to explain. I'm not sure how to share. It's like an onion. And there's some deep roots. You're so right. Healing is like an onion. Relationship with ex-husband has been hard since the beginning, 18 years ago. I know God has broken chains that held me in condemnation and shame for years. My ex-husband is abusive, manipulative, and struggles with mental illness. I've set big boundaries, but he pushes constantly against them. He claims to be a believer, uses scripture against me. The last couple months, I've been feeling weary. My children have minimal visitation with him, but the time they spend is affecting them. I need to be on the battlefield fighting for my children in prayer, but I'm feeling complacent and tired. I'm not showing up as I should. Please pray for protection for my children and the generational bonds that would be broken. I wonder, Maria, I wonder if you could pray for this person before we go to break.
Yeah, Father, we pray for this dear one and anyone else that can mm-hmm. relate. And we plead the precious blood of Jesus over these situations. We curse at the roots the works of the enemy. We command them to dry up. And we pray, Lord, that your wisdom and revelation would fill their hearts, Lord, that they would know the battle belongs to you and you've already won it. And so help them to enter into the faith and the hope and the joy of knowing that you are the door of their life. And no one can come in or go out without your approval. And so, Lord, we ask for your divine protection, your blessing. We pray for breakthrough. We pray that everything that is your good and your best will manifest in them, on them, and through them for your glory and for the blessing of your servants in Jesus' name.
Mm, yeah, Father, we do pray you'd work wonders in our health, in our relationships, in the work of our hands, in our communities, that we would start to develop a holy expectancy that God is on the move. God, show us the places in our lives that we've just sort of accepted theft. Show us the places where there's thorns and thickets and you intend to be harvest of righteousness, Lord. And thinking of Psalm 37:10, in a little while, the wicked will be no more. You'll look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in an abundance of peace. I want you to picture this land, this territory that is yours and Jesus assigned to you, but that's been given up to the enemy because he stole it. Now picture looking for him and then looking carefully for him, but he's not there. Where you reoccupy the land, and instead of thorns and thickets, you see flowers growing, answers to prayer, harvest of your righteousness springing up. I pray that God gives you a vision for expanded territory, expanded capacity to know his love, to walk in his way, and to become joyful and giddy because your Father is Abba God, and you can trust him. Lord Jesus, we pray, bring one breakthrough after another in our listeners, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be back in a minute.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking free.
Can you say that with all your heart? On now I'm walking free. If not, no condemnation, but I want to issue you an invitation. In fact, Jesus is the one who issues an invitation. He calls you to life and life abundantly. And that's what we're focusing on all week, is a breakthrough week. And what a way to start out, talking to Maria Erickson. She and her husband founded the ministry lastdaysdisciples.org. It's a new website, but they've been doing the ministry for a long time. They minister in deliverance ministry and helping captives get free, and not just get free, but to walk free, walk in the abundance that God has for them. And it's been so powerful. So if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, it'll go to podcast. You've got to go back and hear it. I'm so grateful for just the people who've been texting in, have just been so ministered to by the content. One of the things that you talked about, Maria, in one of our back and forth exchanges, as she said, we tend to land in one of two opposite places. One is the enemy wants you helpless, striving, bracing for impact, but God wants your default setting to be one of strength, peace, assurance, and wisdom. So you might get battered a little bit, but that you land instinctively default to strength, peace, assurance, and wisdom. And there have been a number of people who've texted in who just said, I love Jesus, but I don't get the sense he loves me unconditionally. I feel invisible, incapable, outside of that circle of his love. A number of people have felt that way, who long for the default setting to be one of strength, peace, assurance, and wisdom. So speak to that.
Yeah, there's a reason why. That's what our emotions believe. And there's our mind. And what do they say? There's like 12 inches from your mind down to your heart, or however many inches it is. It depends on how long your neck is. But the reality is that it's the truth that gets from your mind down to your heart, right? Because Jesus says, if you do not doubt in your heart, and it also says, as a man thinketh in his heart. So our heart thinks. And so a lot of times our heart, where our emotional seat is, doesn't believe what the Bible says, even though our head agrees. Our heart doesn't. And there's reasons for that. There's thefting kind of situations that have happened. And so the Lord can handle it, and he wants to help you to get to the place where you can see, okay, why am I not believing that, Lord? Why? And so what I would suggest is that the areas where you feel like other Christians have something and you don't, find that verse, because it's for you too, and then say, Holy Spirit, why am I having a hard time in my heart believing this? What told my heart something different? Mm. Because Jesus, you came to undo all the works of the enemy. And that includes all the works of the enemy in my personal life. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pass me by. The reason I feel this frustration is because you want me to be hungry for what really belongs to me. I don't like this. And so you say, Lord, show me what is it that I don't see, and guide me into all truth so that I can believe in my heart. I can believe you instead of the enemy. And that doesn't have to be hard at all. But until we ask him and invite him to teach our heart, not just our head, but teach our heart what's true, our head and our heart can be disconnected. And then the enemy uses that to keep us in this cycle of just being stuck. And like, I believe it, but... And so I'm just going to pray right now. Lord, I pray for those who know the Bible in their head and they agree with it and they preach it and they have the verses memorized, but down in their heart, the enemy is stealing an agreement in their heart because of things they've been through. Holy Spirit, lead their hearts into all truth. Bring them into alignment with what your truth is and how your truth takes all lies captive.
Yes.
And how you take captivity captive with your truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you go into those places of childhood hurt and trauma, that you go into those places of relationships, marriages, parenting, traumas. Lord, go into those places where their experience has taught them something opposite of what your word says. And Holy Ghost, just change what their hearts are able to believe and help their hearts to say, yes, I want what the Bible says to be believed right down here in the core of my personality. And so, Lord, move as only you can. You are the great physician, and you do all things not just well, but perfectly. Mm-hmm. So perfect all that pertains to them. Pour in grace and truth, and bring each and every one into the places they need to go, whether it's new friendships coming into their life, new prayer partners coming into their life, just new experiences with you. Bring each one into that, because you make all things new. You don't want anyone stuck. You don't want anyone in a cycle. And so, Holy Spirit, bring breakthrough into every heart right now that's yearning for it by your great power to lead them in to the truth that makes and keeps them free. We pray for that. We believe for that. We thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. So awesome that you use the word new, because that's what's coming to me today so much. So that you listening today, there are old things that God wants to make new. There's new things he wants to do, new sprouts he wants to spring up. But, you know, we talk about there's our part and God's part, you know, believing him and contending, and how often we stay stuck in circumstances and we downgrade our narrative and our theology based on experience. And one of the passions you and I share are that when we come alive, our story is not just about our story, but when we come alive. We ignite fire in someone else, and they ignite fire in someone else. And even during the break, you said, when this wave of healing that is coming, that we really believe is, it's, there's going to be a lot of healers, so to speak. There's going to be a lot of people mobilized to help others get free. It's not just key, you know, people. It's really each of us get the fire because we, let me tell you what Jesus has done. Yes. So cast a vision for what that could look like.
God wants to take every single mess you have and turn it into a message of how great he is, how capable he is to turn all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose to be conformed into the image of his son. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. When he went through tough things, he over and over again learned that obedience was the way out. Obeying, believing, agreeing, doing whatever Father said, that that was the way out. And so that's true for all of us. And as we learn through the sufferings we've been through, how certain Bible verses are the way of escape and certain Bible verses are the way to handle things, as we learn those things of obedience, obeying the word, in the midst of suffering, we're going to become so powerful and effective at helping everybody else get free. And we're going to have this fire like, okay, not on my watch, devil.
That's right.
You did it to me and it was awful. But now Jesus lifted me up and out. He taught me what I needed to learn so that all of it could be redeemed. All of it could be turned for good. I wouldn't have to regret it or be mad about it. I could be like, wow, look at the ministry I can have to help other people, because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so today, if you've come with a lot of stuff, it's like, whoa, you've got lots of testimonies coming. Like, everything you got, you get to turn it in.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I love that so much. You know, we've talked about James 4:7 in the past, but submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when we get in rank, submit to God is a military term. It means get back in rank. So it really goes back to what Maria was saying about forgiveness and submitting to God's will, his way, for his glory. You don't have authority if you're not under authority. So you get under authority, you rise up, and you have authority. And then you resist. You stand and say, as you say, not on my watch, not in my story. He will flee is translated a couple ways. One is he runs for his life. So, you know, again, if you were to picture the enemy chasing down Christians and some who don't know their place are running for their lives. And then there's others who are going, no, they're standing and he's running for his life. But one of the other translations is he's looking for a safe place to dwell. So you no longer become a safe place to dwell. Yeah. And Maria, you have such a vision, not only for our state, but we broadcast all over the upper Midwest and all over the world, but for the state where we live, but also for this nation, because there are pockets and places where the enemy has found a safe haven to dwell, even in the hearts of believers, in that, in things that they've allowed or believed. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, and I love how you say this, to gladly come out of agreement in any area. Show me, Lord, is there anything in my life, in my story, that I'm still in agreement with the enemy, even if it's that I'm not aware of it? Show me, because I'm going to gladly, joyfully, not with condemnation, joyfully come out of agreement so that I can come into agreement with the Lord. So the enemy no longer finds a safe place to dwell. Just unpack that a bit, not only individually, but what could happen corporately if we each got that fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when Jesus cast the demons out and cast them into the pigs, and then the pigs went over the cliff and then they drowned. And then it says the demons went to waterless places. They went to try to find waterless places. And I think as we are filled with the water of the word, and as we fill our nation, as we fill our nation with people that believe the truth of God, speak the truth of God, walk in obedience to the truth of God, as we love one another, like John 17, where we love so well that my husband says it this way, and I hope this is okay. We love the hell out of people.
Amen. Come on.
Right? What happens is that the enemy can't turn our places into H-E-double-L on earth, but we're pushing it out of. And so the Lord wants to fill the earth with his glory. Wherever you're listening from, he wants to fill your city, your area with his glory. And he's going to do that as we love one another, we love his truth, we walk in the light of his counsel, and we carry forth victory and healing and everything Jesus did. He says, greater works than these will you do if you believe. So I absolutely see Jesus raising up people all across the globe that really are taking him at his word and believing that he loves them, believing that he wants to use them. They're hooking arms with all their friends and neighbors that are Christians too. And then it's not as scary because you're like, all right, we're going to do this together. And I really think that the Lord wants to fill the earth with his glory. And that's us loving him, loving ourselves, loving each other. And just
leaving and expecting their good things from God.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no room for the devil.
That's
because we all are speaking Bible verses with love and truth and faith, and He's got no waterless place to dwell in.
Come on. As we wrap, one of the things you said, I take notes when Maria talks. God wants you to be a calm, confident conqueror who fears nothing and trusts God in everything, knowing that the Lord is standing with you and standing up for you. So I want to ask you, friends, as we get ready to wrap, are you ready to contend for the fullness of what God has? If so, text me, count me in. I want you to text me. I want to know how many of you are with us. Are you going to get feisty in your faith, grabbing hold of the promises like a pit bull, believing with everything in you that God is who he says he is, which means you are who he says you are, and walk free and walk in the fullness and help others get free. Are you willing? Will you text me 877-933-2484? Text me, count me in. I want to know. I want to hear from you. Maria, you are amazing. Thank you for the time. Please
Thank
come
you,
back.
Susie. I love that.
Not that you have all kinds of other things you don't have going on. So amazing. I pray you found some encouragement here. Be praying for this breakthrough week. People are going to get free, and I pray one of those people is you. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.